The United Soccer Coaches is pleased to bring you the United Soccer Coaches podcast with Dean Linke. The United Soccer Coaches podcast is released the third Thursday of each month. If you have a guest you want featured on the United Soccer Coaches podcast, please reach out to Sarah Wilbur with suggestions, questions, and input. Her email is swilbur@unitedsoccercoaches.org. That's S-W-I-L-B-U-R at unitedsoccercoaches.org. In addition, if you have a company that would like to sponsor the podcast or run advertisements in the show, please reach out to partners at unitedsoccercoaches.org. That is partners at unitedsoccercoaches.org. Founded in 1941 and based in Kansas City, Missouri, the United Soccer Coaches has grown into one of the world's largest soccer coaches organization that serves members at every level of the game. United Soccer Coaches works every day to inspire coaches and ignite their passion for the game so they pass it on to their players and others in the soccer community. Dean Linke is approaching 30 years as a television play-by-play broadcaster, reporter, and host. In addition, Dean has a long history as a U.S. soccer employee and ambassador, including serving as the senior press officer for the 1994 U.S. Men's World Cup team. Dean took the leap to the broadcast booth with Major League Soccer's Colorado Rapids for the inaugural season of Major League Soccer in 1996. The former television voice of the NSCAA College Soccer Game of the Week on Fox Soccer Channel has served as the voice of the association for more than 20 years. So let's get the show started. To do that, here's Dean Linke.
I am Dean Linke, and let me just say that it is indeed an honor and even a thrill to have the United Soccer Coaches podcast back and rolling. We look forward to using this platform to continue to spread the message of United Soccer Coaches, keep you updated on the 2026 United Soccer Coaches Convention in Philadelphia, feature people doing great things for the game we love, and so much more. I am grateful to so many people for the return of the United Soccer Coaches podcast, but I especially want to thank Mike Curry, Greg Hubbard, Sarah Wilbur, and Jason Newman for playing specific roles in bringing it back. Thank you, and thank you some more. We have a lot to get you caught up on as an association, so that is what we are going to do today. There's a brand new United Soccer Coaches Board of Directors and a brand new president, the great Paul Payne, the first man to be president of the association at two different times, kicks off the show. The United Soccer Coaches is here for its members and looking for more members. So we will visit with the aforementioned membership services manager of the association, Sarah Wilbur. For certain, education remains a staple of United Soccer Coaches, so we can't do this first show without hearing from the ageless wonder, Dave Simeone, who serves as our Director of Education Programming. And finally, United Soccer Coaches will continue to advocate for multiple communities. So here representing the API Coaches community during Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month is Michelle Bud Nagamine, who will enter her 14th season as the head coach of the University of Hawaii women's soccer program this fall. Paul, Sarah, Dave, and Bud, it's a great show, and we get started after this message from the association.
Calling all soccer coaches, players, and fans. Get ready for the ultimate soccer experience as we celebrate 50 years of the United Soccer Coaches Convention in Philadelphia, PA, January 14th to 17th, 2026. This is the can't-miss event of the year where education, innovation, and the passion for the game come together in one incredible location. Whether you're a coach looking to level up or a business professional in the soccer world, this convention has something for you. We're talking about world-class educational sessions led by top experts in the game, a full exhibit hall showcasing the latest in soccer gear, technology, and the business of soccer, and so much more. You'll have the chance to network, discover new trends, and experience everything the soccer world has to offer. Celebrate 50 years of growth, achievement, and community in Philadelphia. Join us January 14th to 17th, 2026 in Philadelphia, PA for the United Soccer Coaches Convention. Visit UnitedSoccerCoachesConvention.com to register now. See you in Philly.
Welcome back to the United Soccer Coaches podcast. Following an historic election, the largest in the association's modern day history, not that long ago, United Soccer Coaches was excited to announce the newly elected members of the board of directors, and that includes as president Paul Payne, who, by the way, was president of the association back in 2011. He returns during a critical time, and he kicks off the return of the United Soccer Coaches podcast. President Paul Payne, delighted to have you on the debut of the return of the United Soccer Coaches podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Dean, thanks for having us, and we're excited to be working with you again in the podcast. Support our membership and increase our membership and reach out to our membership. This is the beginning of perhaps what we hope leads to Philadelphia and another big successful convention in 2026. So just have the opportunity to speak with you and the members through this podcast is something that the association appreciates, and I certainly do as well.
Well, and I know I do too, especially with people like you, Paul. So let's dive right in. Obviously, major turnover, but now we're headed in the right direction. How was it that Paul Payne decided to come back for another term after being a previous president?
Well, Dean, what happened, and there were some challenges. We can all acknowledge that we had some challenges within the association. And as I said numerous times over the last, it'll be just a month this Friday, which seems like a long time for me with everything coming down the pike, but a lot of people see these challenges we have in front of us as obstacles. I think this new board and our national office staff and hopefully our members look at them as opportunities. So they had some changes in the bylaws in the past board of directors, which allowed previous board members to come back. And through some conversations with a number of people I respect dearly, they suggested perhaps, Paul, put your name in. So I did, and here we are today speaking with you, and somehow I'm back as the president. This time it was special for me. I think it was a little more humbling because you kind of knew in the previous you spent 5 years preparing to become the president. And this was like a phone call at 2:30 on a Friday with Randy Waldrop doing a clinic up in Ohio. And Paul, congratulations, you're the new president. So the board's engaged, and we're really looking forward to bring us back to what we were and getting back to our roots.
I think I speak on behalf of the entire association, knowing what a stand-up man you are, by just saying thank you, and I'll leave it at that. But more importantly now, and I want you to take as much time as you need on this question, what in your mind, Paul Payne, is the new role of the United Soccer Coaches Board of Directors?
It's to stay connected with our staff in Kansas City who do a phenomenal job. It's staying connected with our membership. Sometimes it's like a lot of things in our world. There's so much going on and we lose sight of what we're really about. And it's about the members and what we provide for our members, whether it be coach education, our convention and other events. And just the sense of community of membership. Our membership is made up of every age group, every gender, every level. And I come back to that a lot. It's just not about the pro game, which we all admire, or the world game. It's the youth games, and it's the college game, and my goodness gracious, it's the high school game, and every level of soccer. So this board, and the way it is set up, with specific board members representing the different levels and the program that we have in the association, I think we're going to have a better connection to the membership, and hopefully that leads to us still becoming a resource for people in the coaching community.
Paul, we're going to get to your entire career, and you're, again, a humble guy, so you're not going to love that part of it, but we're going to get to it. But before we get to it, how are you involved with soccer today after 28 years of coaching college?
It's interesting, Dean. I stepped away from college. Maybe it was burnout. I don't know what it is. It's interesting when we talk about player burnout. Just did a session on a new course we have on coach burnout. We forget about it, the coaches. And so it was interesting. I think I was just hitting that point. I don't think I was being fair to my team, perhaps. And I just made the decision to step away. And I was fortunate I could do that, retiring from a state university. But I stayed involved in the game. I moved to Carolina, wanted to get involved with local high school, volunteer. And 5 years later, still doing it. As I shared with you earlier, I am helping my good friend, Paul Marco, with a new USL2 team in Delaware, the Delaware Osprey, and we just kicked off last week with training. We have our first match this Friday. So that's kind of nice for me to get back to those level of players that I was fortunate to coach. And I'm still very involved with a nonprofit I started for cancer research called Red Card Cancer. We partner with the Kimmel Cancer Center and the American Cancer Society, and we've raised well over $1 million since we began. So not officially with the team per se, but I never will leave the game because the game owns me.
Look, I know who you are because I've been around you for a long, long time. But as we look to get younger at the association, which I think is important to our long-term success, who is Paul Payne? Can you take the time to tell everybody who Paul Payne is, where you were born, where you went to college, and your various coaching stops, if you can remember them all, Paul?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's interesting because the convention is in Philly this year, and I'm a Philly guy. My family's radicals. We moved 10 miles outside the city and into the suburbs and grew up in Levittown, played high school ball, played club ball. I remember playing for United German Hungarians, and I'd see Walt Barr walking by with Walt Chisowitz, and you're like, there goes two legends, and they're just normal guys. And I always thought that was, stay with me, those two gentlemen and some of the others I've had the opportunity to work with, how humble the best are. Went on to play college soccer at Kutztown University, which, by the way, dropped the program, which hurts, but we see that too often in our game. The Sullivans of Philadelphia, Joe Sullivan, brother Larry Sullivan, the ex-Villanova coach, and the name Sullivan and with Philadelphia Union is very prominent, gave me my first coaching job at Malvern Prep for the ninth grade Malvern Prep Friars. I think I got a grand total of $400. And I thought, what a great job this is. I wore shorts, and then I wore shorts for about the next 35 years, coaching in a Conestoga High School in Great Valley, and then moved on to University of Scranton, solid Division III program, and then made the move over to Bloomsburg Division II and spent 20-plus years there. So it's been a journey, but as I said, I got to work with young people, impact young people. Every day I got to go to work in a pair of shorts, so not too bad.
Paul, I hope this doesn't stump you, and if you need to give me a couple, that's okay, but in your, what I want to call, illustrious career in the game, what are two of your greatest highlights?
Wow. We were just talking about interview questions for job interviews and stompers and being, you know, I think the most rewarding, I had a health setback in 2014. I was on a coach education course and I had a stroke. It was just came out of nowhere, and I'm still relatively young, and they didn't know if I could even coach again. And I came back that season in 2014. I don't even know if I was myself. I was probably more laid back. And we went on to have the best season in the school's history and went to the NCAA tournament. And that stayed with me because it kind of reminded me, like, stay grounded, Paul. Because too often I wasn't good at this, Dean. I'll be the first to admit I got too emotional in the losses. And at times I wish I could go just back and just to enjoy the experience of the game. And I say to a lot of people, the thing I miss the most about college soccer, it's the intensity of the training sessions and just the banter with young men. I really miss that. I think the other one, and I don't want to harp on red card cancer, with Joe Bicchicchio from the University of Scranton asked me to help at the University of Scranton. And I was a high school coach. Great shakes, but he saw something in me, and he took me in along with Steve Kleeman and worked with both the men and women and took over the men's program. And then Joe passed in 2007, and I've never been impacted outside the death of my parents. I'm proud of that. I took an idea to recognize another human being, another coach, and I took that and said, why not me? Why can't I be somebody? Because everybody will say, geez, he was a great guy, that Paul. But, you know, somebody should do something to recognize him. Well, anybody could have done it. Everybody could have done it. A lot of times nobody does it. And I just decided to be somebody, not ever expecting what it would grow into. And maybe not the most conventional answers, but that's me, as you know that.
Paul, I'm sure you've thought about it a little bit, but I need to ask it this way. A year from now, what would you consider success as the president of this new board?
I think the re-engagement with our members and what we need to provide them. At the end of the day, it's the game that binds us all. And because of coaches and our association, and we support coaches, just think a stronger belief in the association. There's some doubt out there. I understand that. We want to continue working with other organizations to grow the game. But, you know, we're a coaches community. So I would like to see, and I think we can get there, just a stronger sense of belonging to the association. And we have to re-engage our members, show them we're willing to do the work to reconnect with them. And you touched upon a very good point, Dean. I think it's making that connection to the younger coaches. I know when I started, somebody said, oh, you got to join the National Soccer Coaches Association. So you join. We need to get our generation of coaches working now to pass that on to other coaches. But then we need to provide the opportunities for those young coaches when they come in, they can see the support we can offer, whether it's education, the gathering of the convention, or just that sense of community and all the other programming we do. I think increasing the membership, and I know it's just hard numbers, and sometimes that's easy to say, well, it was good or bad. It's like a win or a loss. We've had losses that are actually good because the team played the best they can. But I think that's what I would like to see, just a reestablishment of what we're about and people believing us again.
If you only had one or two sentences to answer this question, what would your answer be when I ask you, what are you most excited about in taking over this role and being the first ever to return for a second term?
It's just this idea that people just feel energized within the small community that somewhat lead, I don't want to say somewhat, but leads and has led, that we're still in this. We still can be a viable player in the coaching world of the U.S. soccer. And I think that might be the thing that encourages me the most, is that we're going to get there. And it could be baby steps, but I've been telling the board and I've been telling our national office staff, my goal is to make the association better today than it was yesterday. And if we can do that with that attitude every day, I think we're going to be in a good place within a year.
Certainly, when we have this kind of new direction and it changes, it can't all be flowers. So I feel like I do have to ask you, Paul Payne, as a journalist, what one part of this role keeps you up at night maybe a little bit?
I think we need to get the support in place. And the question is, how do we get that support in place? Really get us back to our core values. We need to increase membership because membership is a revenue driver. Revenue drivers bring in more partners. Partners bring in revenue. They bring in more support staff in Kansas City to support what we do for our members. I think it's trying to find unique ways how to operate. For instance, Dean, with education. Traditionally, people went away for a week, such if you wanted to get those badges or a weekend. We know the importance of online education, how we blend that with the in-person experience. So the challenges of operating in the modern world, and I used another analogy with speaking with the past presidents the other day. I look at Camden Yards in Baltimore, and you've been at that convention where you're actually, from hotel rooms, you're actually looking into the stadium. And I said, when they built that, everybody said, well, why are they going back to the old days? And what they did, they looked at what worked best in the old stadiums, and they merged it with the new technology to make that basically the blueprint for all the new stadiums that are being built. So I kind of look at that, what can we take from the past and merge it into what we need today to make us, as I said, a viable, supportive association for our membership.
Paul, as you know, I was the senior press officer for the 1994 U.S. World Cup team. The World Cup is coming back in just barely over a year now. Can you tell the listeners how important and how big that's going to be? Because change my life, it's going to change a lot of lives in 2026.
Well, first off, that, you know, if you've been to World Cups, and I was there in 94. I was at the Italy-Ireland first match up in the Meadowlands. And you know that. You drove in. It's like, there's a World Cup, but there was no atmosphere. And then you go to a World Cup in Europe and the whole town's in. And I hope we have that with this World Cup. And we're always talking about growing the game. We have a strong game in here at the pro level, the collegiate level, the high school. Look at the number of youth tournaments you drive down the road. But I hope it even blows it up even more with the World Cup, because the world will be looking at us. But I also hope the people within the U.S. that get involved because they watch, now they're excited. It's on. It's in their city. That engagement and that love of the game continues, because it's an event. It's just not about the games. You know that. It's an event. It just absorbs a whole nation. And I think in 94, there were these little pockets. And I'm really hoping, even as large as the U.S. is, that what this World Cup does is bring us together. We have a lot of, you know, divisiveness in the U.S. today, and we know that. And I think we rally around this and this experience of the World Cup and the world looking at us, you know, sharing it with Mexico and Canada. I mean, I'm pumped. You talk to everybody. Little youth players are talking about who's coming to play and can I go see there? And they're already talking about can I get tickets? And so I think the excitement is only going to grow. And it's fitting that we kick off Philly 26, our convention, and knowing Philly's a site as well as all the other sites we have across the U.S.
Perfect. And we'll have more on the convention with Dave Simeone, two guests from now. Coming up is Sarah Wilbur, who really wears a million hats, but heads up membership. When you think about the importance of membership with the association, how important is that role and how important is it to increase our membership?
Without the membership, we don't exist. It's identifying the new ones, supporting the new ones. You know, we look at what we're doing. We have a board that's engaged with our national office staff to grow membership, getting involved with the College Service Membership Program, you know, re-engaging with the college coaches to provide them what they need, re-engaging with high school coaches, giving them new opportunities. Weekly newsletters coming out every week now from our association, highlighting small things we may do or opportunities. Our national office staff, you know, while understaffed right now, I mean, as you said about Sarah, they're doing multiple jobs and doing a bang-up job. We're always trying to support our members, and I hope our members have a good experience because it's like if I go to a restaurant and you say, "Hey, Paul, where's a good restaurant down in Wilmington?" Dean, you got to check out this one Italian place. Well, you're going to go. And if we can get members that are involved now and give them a good experience, what's that badge you're wearing on your jacket? Okay, well, it's a United Soccer Coaches. Well, what is it? Oh, it's a great organization. Got to join it. So if we can take care of the members we have now and they feel that bond that we have, I think they then become excited that they share. That only increases membership and get excitement with ours. And then we have to maintain them. We have to retain them. You're spot on about the membership drives the association.
Last question. It's a fill in the blank, and I'm talking as if I'm you, and then you're going to be you to end the question. My name is Paul Payne. I am returning, and I'm the first one to return as president of United Soccer Coaches because the United Soccer Coaches means this to me.
It means family. It means family. I think about the people I've met, and some of my closest friends are people I did coach education with. I'd spend a week with David Sayward, the legendary Middlebury coach. David and I consider him one of my best friends. We talk a weekly. I would see him 2 times a year, Florida in a summer course. That's it. Think about the Peter Goodings and the Jeff Tippings, and it's too many to mention here. It's about family, that I have a family beyond my own family. And that's, I think that's my answer, Dean.
Paul Payne, the newly elected president of the United Soccer Coaches, the first ever to come back for a second term. Paul, so glad you're back. And I think I speak for everybody that knows anything about the association when I say that. And thanks for kicking off the return of the United Soccer Coaches podcast. We couldn't have done it any other way.
Dean, I want to thank you for the opportunity. I want to wish you the best with the podcast and everything else you have. You do. You're all over the map. Speaking about people have multiple jobs, I'm not sure what sport you're doing anymore, but that's great. And we really appreciate how you support us. And this podcast is just the first step of getting back to what we do best, and that's serving our membership.
Blessings and thanks for your love of the game.
Take care then, Dean.
You take care too, Paul Payne. We're just getting rolling. When we return, we visit with Sarah Wilbur, the Membership Services Manager for United Soccer Coaches.
Are you a soccer coach looking to take your game to the next level? Whether you're just starting out or you're seasoned pro, United Soccer Coaches has everything you need to succeed. As a member, you'll enjoy discounted education resources to improve your skills, connect with coaches' communities across the country, and gain access to our prestigious awards programming. Plus, you'll have the chance to attend our annual convention, an event you don't want to miss out on. Need extra protection? We've got you covered with general liability insurance, and you'll also enjoy exclusive discounts and opportunities from our trusted partners. Join United Soccer Coaches today and be part of a team that's dedicated to helping you grow as a coach and a leader. Sign up now at unitedsoccercoaches.org. Elevate your coaching. Elevate your game.
Thanks to Paul Payne for kicking off the return of the United Soccer Coaches podcast. As I mentioned, we now turn to membership, and to do that, we have Sarah Wilbur, the Membership Services Manager for United Soccer Coaches. Just as important, I think Sarah goes above and beyond for the association, including playing a key role in the return of this podcast. And for that, I am certainly grateful. Sarah, Thanks for all you do, and welcome to the United Soccer Coaches Podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Dean. I'm so excited to be back with the podcast, working with you, you know, the voice of United Soccer Coaches. So excited to see where this all takes us.
Right back at you. Let's dive right in. What is the national office and membership team working on for membership?
Yeah, we've got a lot going on right now. So we have a very small but dedicated office here in Kansas City. That's our national team. Our national team, we're working to assist our members, making sure that we're offering some new educational opportunities, but also continuing to provide the benefits and support to our members through our awards programs, general liability insurance, soccer journal, coaches, communities, just to name a few. One of the big focuses in membership right now is making sure that we are communicating, connecting with our membership. So each week we send a weekly email on Fridays, letting everybody know what's going on, how to get involved, you know, just the ins and outs of United Soccer Coaches. But one of the things that I'm super excited to start talking about and getting I'm involved in is our convention team is working on all of our details, getting information together to open registration for Philadelphia. So our convention in 2026 will be back in Philadelphia, where we're going to be, you know, celebrating not only our association and our membership, but our 50th year as a convention in Philadelphia. So got a lot of exciting stuff going on.
Incredible. And beyond that, in your own words, what do you get from a membership to United Soccer Coaches?
Great. So with your individual membership at all levels, you get things like general liability insurance, your soccer journal, which is our quarterly issue. Preseason is going to be coming out soon, so make sure to watch out for that. We're going to start offering more discounts on our education programs, convention. We also have our extensive awards team and programs who give out over 10,000 awards a year. And those are highlighted at convention. We also have our coaching communities. But one of the things for me right now in membership is you get what you put into it. So I kind of tell people, don't be like me. When I joined the association, I joined, to be completely honest, because I wanted to go to convention with my team and loved everything about convention, but I was missing so many opportunities, not taking advantage of what we also give. So we want, as membership team, you know, take advantage of the benefits that we give you. Get involved with a coaching community. Go to a course. Host a course. Ask us how to get involved. Ask us how to help. We're here for you. So just take advantage of that membership and everything we have to offer.
Over the years, the bandwidth of United Soccer Coaches has expanded. And I say that because it's not just for coaches. It can be for director of coaching. It can be for CEOs of youth groups. It could be for general managers of a pro team. Can you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. So just like you said, we have spaces for everybody. It doesn't have to be just a professional coach or a college coach or a youth coach. We have spaces for your administrators. One of the things we have at convention with our partners is a huge exhibit floor where we're not only showing our partnerships and things we have to offer, but we have tournaments and different things to offer for your admins. We have referee programs. We do the referee experience every year where we bring in people from FIFA and other organizations to work with referees in soccer. But we also have opportunities for people who just want to learn more, you know, parent coaches who want to get involved and kind of know what's going on. We have our foundation courses. So there's really a space for anybody and everybody who just wants to be involved in soccer.
For folks that we hope have stumbled on to the return of the United Soccer Coaches podcast, how can they get involved and how can they get assistance?
Great. So just become a member. Become a member and we give you all these different opportunities. So becoming involved in United Soccer Coaches, I think the three biggest, easiest ways, quickest ways to do it would be with membership. You can get access to our coaching communities. So with coaching communities, you can find people with the same interests, same background, same coaching level, just to kind of get your foot in the door, make some connections and start networking. Our education is also an easy way to get involved. We have online courses, blended courses, and courses at convention. So that's a great opportunity to meet people. And we can even host a course for you. So if you want to bring us to you, we have those opportunities as well. And then a big thing that I think everybody loves and looks forward to is our convention. I don't think there's anything better than having the opportunity to learn, to network, to meet people, to celebrate, and bring everybody who's really into soccer together once a year.
Besides being somebody that has always been so kind, so nice, and so helpful to me, I want people to know, who is Sarah Wilbur? Where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to college? And how did you find United Soccer Coaches?
Yeah, so I'm a Kansas City kid. I grew up here out in the suburbs of Kansas City, played soccer you know, since I could walk pretty much. Played up into college, but then decided the school that I was at was not for me. That's when I finished my education at KU. So big KU grad over here. From there, when I stopped playing, I couldn't get out of soccer. It was so important in my life, given me so many friendships and, you know, just a sense of being. And so I started to coach. And that's where I was given the opportunity to coach in the youth world with Kansas Rush. And then I was coaching at my high school, Olathe North. And from there, it was actually the coach I worked with, Craig Gerfen, who signed me up for convention. So I had a wonderful group at Olathe North. We went to convention 5 years together. That's how I became a member while I was finishing school, and then ended up in another career path, and a position opened up in National when I realized that National was in my backyard. So got the opportunity, and, you know, almost 3 years later, here I am. So
there's so much on your plate, and yet you're always willing to take on more. Is that just how you've always been?
I try. I like learning new things. So I think that's kind of where I kind of weasel myself in. When there's a need or a way, I'm going to try and find it. So that's kind of how I've gotten into the podcast and helping with that, and into convention. I like learning. I like doing new things, meeting new people. So yeah, I just kind of am that way, I guess.
When you hear these three words, United Soccer Coaches, what do those three words mean to Sarah Wilbur?
To me, it's about family. It's about bringing people together, bringing people who love the sport together, who've played. The more that I've worked in this association, the more connections I've made, the more people that I've met and heard their amazing stories. To me, it's one big family, one big association.
Besides Dave Simeone, who have been some really cool people that you've met during your time with United Soccer Coaches, albeit at the convention or at a course or in your office, that type of thing?
Dave Simeone is a character. Gotta love him and all of our phone calls every day. But honestly, I think everyone at National, I think it's super impressive how many are working in the National right now. Again, we're a very small staff, but everyone is wearing multiple hats. Everyone is working as hard as we can because it all means so much to us. So I work really closely with Allison Pronsky and Pat Madden and John Mayer and that awards team. I mean, the list goes on. I've just met some really great people. So I love the past presidents, meeting with them and hearing their old, it's kind of like old war stories about what they've been through. And, you know, nothing can beat talking to them at convention and just seeing, you know, people come in and realize the amazing things that everybody does.
As we have the track toward the convention, and we use the monthly United Soccer Coaches podcast to further tell the story of, hey, the convention is around the corner, how excited are you to spread that great gospel?
I can't wait. A little selfishly, my family's from Pennsylvania, so I always love Philadelphia, just because you can't beat being next to Reading Terminal Market. I think all of us talk about what we're going to eat there first, to be honest. I'm so excited to celebrate with people. It's that one time of year where you get everybody together. You see not only the coaches, but seeing the players on All-American Day is probably one of my favorite things, to see them come in all dressed up, super excited, so appreciative. And it's just, it's such a cool experience to see how much the sport has given so many people.
So you've heard me say it before, repetition is information. So one more time, people that want to get involved, people that want to get assistance, where do they go?
Yeah, just check out our website, or you can always send us a message. The email would just be membership@unitedsoccercoaches.org. Send us a message, ask us a question, whatever you need, we're here to help.
Membership@unitedsoccercoaches.org. Sarah Wilbur, you're fantastic. Thanks for being a part of the show.
Thanks so much, Dean.
Two guests down, two to go, including up next, Dave Simeone, the United Soccer Coaches Director of Education Programming.
Unlock your coaching potential this summer with United Soccer Coaches. This summer, take your coaching to the next level with our blended and online educational programs. Whether you're a seasoned coach or just starting out, United Soccer Coaches offers flexible, high-quality courses designed to fit your schedule and your needs. Gain valuable diplomas, dive deep into game tactics, leadership, and player development, and connect with fellow coaches from around the world, all while learning from the best in the game. The summer of growth is here. Don't miss out. Visit unitedsoccercoaches.org to learn more and register today. Your coaching journey starts now.
Welcome back to the United Soccer Coaches Podcast. Great to visit with our new president, Paul Payne, as well as Sarah Wilbur. And we now turn to education, the core of the association, with a visit from United Soccer Coaches, Director of Education Programming, my good friend, Mr. Dave Simeone. Dave, delighted to have the return of the United Soccer Coaches Podcast and delighted to have you on this show.
Dean, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. We're excited about the return of the podcast, and I'm pleased to be just in your world for this brief period of time.
What is United Soccer Coaches Education based on, Dave? And take your time on this answer because it's important.
That quality and the characteristics of our education have evolved over time. But in the beginning, and I think one of its enduring qualities is that it's the mentorship and it is a collegial relationship with coaches who come to us for education, whether they're youth coaches, high school coaches, pro coaches, college coaches, coaches on the men's side, the women's side. We have historically been as consumed with our relationship with our members and those that take our education courses as we have been with the knowledge and the content, because we feel it's the combination of those two things that forges a long and lasting relationship with them and their relationship with learning.
As we know, the courses have transformed to blended courses. Why? How did that happen? And make sure we understand what blended means.
Well, obviously, over the last probably 10 years, you know, we've been so inundated with technology. And then the advent of COVID. So a lot of things in education across society changed appreciably. So time commitment, expense, travel, and with those technologies, we can now do so much online with what we used to do in the context of a 4 or 5 day in-person course. Makes it more convenient, creates good learning experiences. And so blended courses incorporate really three different phases now in our education. One phase is asynchronous learning. We're able to offer those that take our education self-regulated or asynchronous videos and pieces of education that add to their knowledge. The second phase is synchronous education that is in Zoom calls. So between the asynchronous and the synchronous information, when we have cohorts on Zoom calls, we try and use both of these two components in order to, for phase three, the in-person, the 2 days in person, that is what encapsulates all of our blended courses. It's still basically about the same amount of time, but it is more convenient. People don't have to travel to get to that information. They can do it online. And then, of course, the 2 days in person, what we're concentrating on is where one of our real strengths are in all of these phases, which is getting coaches on the field. That's really the office, talking about coaching, session design, coaching within sessions, how to interact with players. And so it's the combination of those three things that give us the blended format, Dean.
Make no mistake, as the director of education program, the pinnacle, the top of the mountain, the creme de la creme is the United Soccer Coaches Convention. What are some things? Oh, by the way, before we get into this, I just want to say what you did in Chicago, Dave, was amazing under some tough conditions. So well done you. Let me say that. And then say, what are some things we can look forward to from the education team at the 2026 convention in the great city of Philadelphia?
Well, we're excited about going back to Philadelphia. It is always one of the great spots historically for us and the convention. And thank you so much, Dean. I mean, we felt that the program and some of the reformatting gave us a really good opportunity to highlight those that we're presenting in our education tracks in Chicago. We plan on carrying through with that in Philadelphia. So every year we offer a segment of our education in either special topics. For instance, this year again, you know, we'll be doing a high school special topics course of 6 sessions. We'll be doing a game model course and data analytics course. We've got a women's special topics track, which is always loaded and filled with really good presenters that our women's group offers us. In addition to that, we have, for the 3rd consecutive year, a special topics diploma that will be offered thoroughly Spanish speaking. And we're especially happy with that. Vanessa Laguna Martinez, who's now coaching Mexico's U23 women, is going to be running that again for us this year. So from an education standpoint, we always incorporate a considerable amount of what is in our diplomas. From the 50,000 foot standpoint, we're always talking to national coaches of national teams, both here and in Europe, both present and former. So last year, having Emma Hayes, what a delight she was. And she is just incredible to interact with in the convention environment for the folks who end up coming to see high-level presenters like her. So we'll be incorporating some of those national coaches, both domestic and international. Greg Berhalter was in the program last year. Great session with him. And so we're trying to suss out and schedule out those people. And then foreign coaches of foreign national teams, both on the men's and the women's side. So it's going to be a full slate. It's going to incorporate programming and presenters for those that are expressly interested in the grassroots. It will incorporate college coaches as well as high school programming. And then, of course, I think one of the real uniquenesses of the convention is that as a grassroots coach or as a high school coach, you can go watch someone present either on the field or in the classroom. Someone like Romeo Jozak, who's worked for Croatia's Federation, is now leading a player development project in Saudi Arabia that's going to lead into the 2034 World Cup they'll be hosting. You can take some best practices from that. Laura Harvey, who's been on the field with us 2 of the last 3 years, you can go and watch her and you can figure out, how do I apply some of this to the context with the players that I'm working with in my environment? It's one of the very unique things about the convention, Dean.
In your own words, Dave, why do you think it's imperative that coaches at every level take advantage of what United Soccer Coaches offers to become a better coach?
If you're talking about the convention, the uniqueness of that environment, like the past 2 years, I've been invited to go to the International Trainers Congress that the DFB and the BDFL run in Germany. And there are 1,000 coaches there, and they're all pro licensed. They're all A licensed or A plus. It is very different than what we offer at the convention educationally. It's unique. Some of it is really informal learning. It's not all encapsulated in diplomas or certificates. It's informal learning, and it's in a social environment, which means that not only might you watch Alex Ferguson or Emma Hayes, but you also might be sitting next to coaches of different levels or different dimensions, and now you get a chance to interact with them. Now, our education on the whole, whether it's the blended version or the online that you can do with courses like data analytics or game models, they speak to coaches. They allow them an avenue of information and get them to apply it in the context that they are working in. So I think we're very unique. I think we connect with those in our education who are interested in their development.
I told you the last time we spoke that you remind me of Benjamin Button. Of course, you get better looking as you every day, but more importantly, you have this unbelievable energy even as you get a bit older, Dave. Where's that come from?
You know, I appreciate that, Dean. Thank you very much. I have always had a natural curiosity, and I find that to be, and it's served me well. It's not about a final destination for me in coaching through my career. It's been about the process, and I've had the great fortune of working with a lot of really good people, and education has afforded me an opportunity to plan both processes and programming that I hope will make an impression on other coaches. I feel very strongly about education. It demonstrates a lifetime attitude towards growth and development, both personally and professionally. It's essential. I think so many times, you know, we can get caught up into arriving at a final destination in coaching, teaching, education, but really it's an ongoing process. And that is very exciting for me, Dean.
Just like everybody knows who Messi is, I feel like everybody should know who Dave Simeone is. Dave, in an elevator speech style, where were you born, where did you go to college, and where were you stops before you arrived at United Soccer Coaches?
Well, I grew up in northeastern Ohio. I grew up in a very industrialized, working class environment, in and amongst steel mills and rail yards. And the time I grew up, you know, the game was really in the ethnic community. And that's where I became introduced to it. And it was certainly outside the context of maybe the big three American sports, baseball, football, basketball. And so those were very impressive moments and experiences for me. And little did I know that it would kind of send me on a journey with the sport throughout my life. I mean, after getting out of the United States Navy and trying to figure out, you know, through college at the University of Northern Colorado, I knew that soccer was important for me, but didn't really know or think about it as a career. And I had some very pivotal people, Shellis Hyman among them. Shellis and I became acquainted in the early 1980s. And he basically, over a two-year period, gracefully nudged me into graduate school. And so ending up in Texas at Midwestern State with a great men's program assisting Howard Patterson, it also opened doors for me into the Dallas area into youth development. I just think about the players that in those early years, and then in my term as the state director of coaching there between South Texas and North Texas, it's been a journey, and being able to work with people like Tony DiCicco with the national team and Bob Gansler and just a host of other people. So it's been an incredible pleasure for me, and I'm just thankful for those experiences.
Two more questions for Dave Simeone. Dave, you love being an educator for coaches because?
Because the seeds that we plant with that, we get to see come to fruition. Maybe not next week, maybe not in 6 months, but maybe it takes a bit more time. There's some initial transformation, but I think about either young coaches that I had while I was the director of coaching in North Texas who have become accomplished college or high school, and even some of them working with the national team. And it's an amazing experience to see it retrospectively a number of years down the road, but it's what they are becoming that fascinates me.
Right here, right now, when Dave Simeone hears these three words, it means what? United Soccer Coaches.
To distill it down to one statement, better coaching means better players, and that's what we're about.
Dave Simeone, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being a part of the return of the United Soccer Coaches podcast. Always good to see you, Dave.
Thank you so much, Dean. Good luck.
Thanks, Dave. It's better to be lucky than good, I guess. I don't know. I don't care. I'm just happy to be back as the host of the United Soccer Coaches podcast, and delighted to wrap up our show with the amazing head coach of the Hawaii women's soccer team. A bright light indeed. She showed up for the podcast interview with her lei around her neck. Pretty awesome. Talking about Michelle Bud Nagamine, the head coach of the Hawaii women's soccer team and a key part of the API coaches community. We visit with Bud on the bounce.
Calling all soccer coaches, players, and fans. Get ready for the ultimate soccer experience as we celebrate 50 years of the United Soccer Coaches Convention in Philadelphia, PA, January 14th to 17th, 2026. This is the can't-miss event of the year where education, innovation, and the passion for the game come together in one incredible location. Whether you're a coach looking to level up or a business professional in the soccer world, this convention has something for you. We're talking about world-class educational sessions led by top experts in the game, a full exhibit hall showcasing the latest in soccer gear, technology, and the business of soccer, and so much more. You'll have the chance to network, discover new trends, and experience everything the soccer world has to offer. Celebrate 50 years of growth, achievement, and community in Philadelphia. Join us January 14th to 17th, 2026 in Philadelphia, PA for the United Soccer Coaches Convention. Visit UnitedSoccerCoachesConvention.com to register now. See you in Philly.
Welcome back to the United Soccer Coaches podcast. As I reminded you before we went to break, May is Asian American and Pacific Island Heritage Month, celebrated during the month of May. The United Soccer Coaches API Coaches Community was established in April of 2021. The community is comprised of Asian and Pacific Islander heritage soccer personnel and their allies. The mission of the API Coaches Community exists to champion diversity, awareness, and belonging at every level and involvement of the game. Some of their strategic priorities include networking, mentoring, encouraging, educating, advocating, empowering, and enriching. And here, representing the API Coaches Community as part of the Return of the United Soccer Coaches podcast is Michelle Bud Nagamine, who will enter her 14th season as the head coach of the University of Hawaii women's soccer program this fall. This comes just one season removed from leading the Rainbow
Wahine
to a Big West regular season title. Hired in 2011 as the second head coach in program history, Bud has crafted a legacy at nearly every level in the Hawaii soccer community over her career in the sport. The former captain of the Santa Clara Broncos, Bud is loved by all who meet her, and with a bachelor's in communications with an emphasis on TV production, she understands the world I live in. With that, we welcome Bud to the return of the United Soccer Coaches podcast. Bud, great to see your beautiful smiling face.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. How's it? And good morning, Dean.
I love it. And I love the lei that you have on as well, and the true
thank
Hawaii
you.
Spirit. But let's start with the fact that even while there are some government officials who want to wipe away the notion of even having an Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month, to me, we should never stop recognizing this special and impactful community. Your thoughts?
I could not agree more. I think some of the things that are going on are absolutely ridiculous. For the record, we are not going to stop celebrating who we are, what we represent, and what we're trying to do. That diversity makes us all better. It provides so much insight and opportunity to learn about not only ourselves, but our community. And I think when you have that kind of ability to connect and really come together, it's very special. So why would we eliminate that? We're not. We're going to keep doing what we're doing.
Amen. Full stop. For you, Bud, why is it important to keep the train moving with the API coaches community, which I'm glad to hear still involves Ashu Saxena as the chair?
Oh, Ashu has just been nothing short but incredible. What an amazing human being. Someone who is just so selfless and just so willing to elevate and empower others. He's been extremely inspirational to me. I view him as someone that I look up to, someone that is making impacts both at the grassroots and the highest levels of our game. And that's a very, very special opportunity. And he does it so well with so much grace and so much dignity. So I hope he never stops doing what he's doing.
I have that same feeling. Listen, it's obvious that our world will always have racial bias and divide. I wish that wasn't true, and perhaps some great day it won't be there. But while it is, how have you and your friends of the community that are close to you had to deal with racial divide? What stories can you share?
You know, I think growing up in Hawaii with just such a melting pot of cultures and nationalities, we've been a little bit sheltered to the racism that others have dealt with on the continent. I think when you have a community like ours that is heavily based on immigrants and Filipinos, Chinese, Japanese, we have a large Asian population in Hawaii. So really the Caucasians have been more of the minority than anything. So it's kind of the reverse. So I think you still have an obligation as a majority to make sure that the minority is taken care of and addressed. Their needs are met. That's what I mean by addressed. You know, we want to make sure that we're understanding the plights of everyone, not just ourselves, because that's how we become relatable. That's how we build the bridges versus tear them down. So I think part of this mission that we're on, you asked earlier, why are we still doing what we're doing? Why are we fighting this fight? It's because we can see it working. We can see the understanding and the compassion building for everyone. Just perspective is such a powerful thing. So when I look at why do we keep doing what we're doing? It's because it's working. Slowly but surely, it is working.
One of the things we know, there are big time power players in the game that come from this community. And now under the auspices of the API coaching community with United Soccer Coaches, you come together routinely, whether it be Zoom or whether it be at the convention. What has that connection meant to you?
Oh, it's meant everything to me to feel like I'm accepted unconditionally by such a special group of people is very meaningful to me. And it does not a day goes by where I don't stop to just be grateful and express gratitude in my actions and in my thoughts. I'd like to think that I try to approach every day as just leaving things better than how I found them. And that's largely due to many of the members in our API coaches community. If you look at some of the things that are happening across the board, not just in soccer, but in some of the other sports as well, it's just nice to see people who look like me, who have come from similar backgrounds with multicultural heritage. So it's been really just a very enlightening experience for me to be a part of a community that really gets me.
But I wanted to go over the 7 pillars of the mission of the API coaches community. I just want to say the words and get a reaction from you on what they mean. I mean, the words are kind of easy to explain, but as it relates to your mission, I thought we would do that. So we'll start with networking.
Networking, we all need allies around us. Sometimes, even when we're kind of further along in our careers versus just starting out, everyone needs a little bit of support sometime. And I think it's important to get to know people through a social setting so that you can help to better support them in a professional setting. So that's one of the things that I enjoy the most about this group.
Mentoring.
We all need them and we all need to be them. So with myself personally, I look at some of the mentors that I've had in my life over the years and the amount of time and energy that they poured into me, I want to make sure that I am paying that forward. So I think a lot of the members in our coaches community have that same mentality. Some of the members who have been doing this for so long still have as much energy as the day they started. And that's pretty incredible.
Encouraging.
Oh, that's a good one. I think sometimes we feel like we lose our way a little bit. Maybe we get in our own heads, so to speak. And I think that encouragement from the other members, again, that unconditional love, it really does help to propel you forward.
Educating.
Education is always a part of every day. The opportunity to learn, to grow, to increase our mental capacity and our emotional capacity. I think those two are going hand in hand.
Advocating.
Let's make sure that we empower each other, lift each other up, make sure that we help to build confidence in people so that they can achieve the things that they probably don't think they can.
Empowering.
We want to make sure that we continue to give time of ourselves because that helps people to see that they have a community of support, which is empowering in itself. And when someone feels empowered, I think they are motivated to break ceilings, break down doors, break down walls. And I think that's when the fun really begins.
And enriching.
Enriching. When I think of the word enriching, I think about just the overall experience of becoming a more fulfilled person. So the enrichment that occurs when you connect with people, you empower them, you lift them up, and you educate them, that's what this is all about. Good one to end on.
Good one to end on. But I do want to spend a little bit of time reflecting on last season and then talking about this season coming up. Big time season for your program, which I think deserves even more praise because you're so far away and the travel is just ridiculous. How proud are you of your team from last year?
To say that I'm proud is definitely a word that doesn't even, it's proud is such a strong word, but it doesn't even come close to how I felt about my team this past season. They are just an exceptional group of young women who have really defied a lot of odds. Some people don't know that we're building a soccer facility on campus with our track and field. So it'll be a soccer and track complex. Should be done in the middle of August. So we're very excited about that. But that meant for a whole year, we did not have a field on campus. So I joke that if we had a six-a-side national tournament, we'd win the national championship because we practiced on about 30 by 40 pieces of grass and astroturf. Anywhere we could find it, we would just get out there. One of the most special things coming out of the season was showing the players that they could do hard things. We say that all the time. Thank you, Glennon Doyle. But we say that all the time, but they truly did that this year. They embraced the weight room. They embraced each other. And anytime we said, hey, sorry, guys, we got to move here, go there, softball outfield, baseball outfield, a little corner of the football field, we just took it. They found the joy in every day and in each other. And I think that's what kind of threw us right over the top this year.
Make no mistake, you heard me talk about it earlier, the travel for your team has got to be tough. What has been the key for you to overcome that part of what you have to do to have success?
Oh, it's definitely been preparation. We do not go into anything we do in the season unprepared. And travel is probably the most important part. People would think fitness, recovery. Yes, that's part of it too. But those two things don't even matter if you don't travel right. So we have taken really excessive steps to make sure that our athletes are comfortable, that they know the schedules ahead of time. We try to stay on Hawaii time as much as possible, just because it makes getting home so much easier. So if we take a late flight, we don't let them nap. You know, if we're arriving, you know, early in the morning, we don't let them nap. We make sure that they are staying up all day so that they can adjust. We make sure the hydration, sleep, study hall, so that they have peace of mind that they're not falling too far behind in classes. All of these things contribute to the stress and the load that a player has to bear. So we always try to do our best to make sure that they are comfortable. They're in a nice hotel that's going to have, you know, thick walls, so you don't hear people running around at, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning or the kids upstairs. So we really do try to think of everything that could possibly go wrong and then work our way back from there.
Reflect on your spring season. How did that go, bud?
Oh, spring season, another really productive season for us. Our strength coach, Josh Elms, and our sports scientist, Dr. Trevor Short, really did a great job of preparing a program that was going to push the athletes. And I could tell by how gingerly they were walking the following days. And when they couldn't lift their arms to hug each other, I could tell that the weight room was really starting to take effect. And we increased our performance and our numbers, you know, in things like acceleration, speed, strength. We increased in every single category. We were in there three times a week. And then we actually put the soccer part on hold a little bit. And we didn't train every day on the field because we really wanted to embrace the weight room. And it also was good timing because, again, like I said, our field will be done in mid-August. So that was 2 days less a week that we had to figure out where we were going to train.
Remind us the date of your first practice. And if you know it, remind us the date and who you're playing in your first game.
Oh, it's going to be a really exciting fall season with the early access to athletes that we have. We got an extra 2 weeks. So we'll be reporting on, what is it, July 28th this year. So we'll have our NCAA meeting on July 28th, which is the earliest we've ever reported in all of my years at University of Hawaii. But we will also open on the road, which is a little different for us. We had 6 straight home games last year, so 3 weeks at home. But this year, because they did give us extra early access, we didn't have time to bring in teams from the mainland for a Hawaii tournament. That was going to be way too expensive. So we ended up taking another road trip. So it should be fun. But we open at Long Beach, and then on Sunday, we'll be Pepperdine. So we will be opening on August 14th at Long Beach, and then August 17th at Pepperdine.
Outstanding. Your expectations for this team coming into the season?
We lost some key pieces, but we are going to be another very competitive team. We have some exciting recruits coming in for the class of 2025, and we also have a really good core returning. So I think with so many of our young players receiving postseason accolades this year, Kennedy Justin as the goalkeeper of the year, and Nalani Demasian, the midfielder of the year, you know, Alice Davidson, outside back, second team, all Big West, you know, we've got a good core group returning, and we're going to have some firepower up top as well. They say that expectations can be both good and bad, but I'm really excited about this fall season. I think we're going to have a solid group.
For you, the greatest part of coaching young women in college soccer is?
Getting to see what they do after ball. That has been the most rewarding experience for me, to receive a text or a letter or a medical pin in the mail. That just happened to me for the first time in my career. I can remember one of my former players, Michaela Johnson-Griggs, going through her undergraduate degree in biology because she wanted to go into medicine. And she just sent me a medical pin that said, thank you for all the support. We can give these to 5 people who have impacted our lives and in a positive way. And it just brought tears to my eyes. So I think the most rewarding part, ironically, has nothing to do with soccer. It's getting to see these women embrace their greatness and do big things off the field when they're done with soccer.
You must be super pleased with the enormous growth of women's sports, women's soccer, women's basketball, softball, volleyball, all of it.
Oh, it has been one of the most incredible experiences of my life to just see how the game has grown. I remember I was only 22 years old, and I had opened a soccer store, and we thought it would be cool to have one big TV in the upper corner that would just play soccer videos, you know, those VHS tapes. So this was back in 1992. And I can remember trying to open the store in 1991 while we were prepping for our grand opening. And just, I couldn't find the FIFA World Cup anywhere. And somebody recorded the game on this grainy VHS tape, gave it to me, and, you know, watching the Women's World Cup and playing it on a loop on a TV that weighed, I think it was like 80 pounds. It took so many of us to just get it up in the corner. And now I look, you know, they come in like it's a little boogie board under their arm and they can just mount it to the wall, a 50-inch TV. That wasn't the case back in 1992. So to remember the days where women's soccer was really non-accessible, it's nice to see the growth that's occurring in the sport. And I'd like to see even more access because, you know, getting on this platform, to get on this platform, to find a NWSL game, those days too, I hope are behind us.
Some big events around the corner. The Men's World Cup returns to North America next summer. Then you've got the Olympics in LA in 2028. And then 2031, the Women's World Cup returns.
Oh, this is going to be just so much fun for all of the soccer freaks in the U.S. But actually, I think the world, I heard that the tickets were already, you know, going up in price. But knowing our soccer community, they will be soccering in the streets. They will be in the pubs and the bars and really making their support for the U.S. known. So I think to have this trifecta of events that's coming through the U.S. is just simply incredible. And what a tremendous opportunity for all of us to really embrace the experience.
Two more questions. Fill in the blank. For you, for us to always remember Asian American and Pacific Islander heritage, whether it's May or whatever month it is, it doesn't matter. It's important to you because?
Because we deserve to be seen and heard. I think the people we have in our community are amazing, and the stories are just so inspiring and phenomenal. So we deserve this, and I certainly hope that it continues.
And for you, the United Soccer Coaches means what?
I have been a member of United Soccer Coaches for over 30 years, and they sent me a little pin, I think, on my 20th anniversary, and I was thinking, I can't be that old, but I have been a part of this organization since I was a young coach just starting out. My roots are here. I learned so much about myself and made such good friends. This community, to me, of all these soccer coaches and allies, it has been one of the most important relationships of my career.
Bud, you light up a room. You even light up my Zoom. Thanks for all you've done for the game. And thanks for always being accessible to spread good words about the game and about the EPI coaches community and United Soccer Coaches.
Thank you so much, Dean. I try to live each day spreading a little bit of aloha, and I hope I did that this morning.
Amen to that, and amen to having the return of the United Soccer Coaches podcast. The next time you hear from us will be Thursday, June 19th, with more fantastic people just like today. I want to thank all of our guests and all the great people at United Soccer Coaches, including their members. I want to thank our producer, Colin Thrash, and for each and every one of them and all of you, I'm Dean Linke saying thanks for listening to the United Soccer Coaches podcast.
Thanks for listening to the United Soccer Coaches podcast with Dean Linke. If you have a guest you want featured on the United Soccer Coaches podcast, please reach out to Sarah Wilbur with suggestions, questions, and input. Her email is swilbur@unitedsoccercoaches.org. That is S-W-I-L-B-U-R @unitedsoccercoaches.org. In addition, if you have a company that would like to sponsor the podcast or run advertisements in the show, please reach out to partners@unitedsoccercoaches.org. That's partners@unitedsoccercoaches.org.